Bismillah. We start in the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Most High, the Most Merciful. We praise Him and we seek His aid and His protection from the evil of ourselves and that from what is known and unknown. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless our beloved Prophet Muhammad ibn Abdullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We testify that he is the last and final messenger of Allah, and that what he has brought is the truth to the whole of mankind, even though the mushrikeen will detest it. To proceed. From the moment of birth, we are thrown into a battle. A battle that will put the rest of our lives and our hereafter at stake. This battle will decide whether we are given the book in our right hand, like the Muwahideen, or whether we are given it in our left hand and be amongst the losers. Our enemy is such that we go up against the ultimate Da'i. The ultimate Da'i who has had thousands upon thousands of years to perfect his Dawah. He knows the insan very, very well. He knows every human being very, very well. What makes one tick, what one likes, what one dislikes. He is the one that in the belief, if iman was such that it was just based upon belief, then he would have more belief than the whole of mankind put together. Because he is the one who was there when Adam alayhi salam, the first of mankind, the father of all mankind, was brought forward. He has even spoken to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and which of us can say that we have done this? And this is why, for those who say iman is just belief, this is an evidence against you. Because this being had more belief than any man. But yet, at the end of the day, what was he pronounced? He was pronounced a disbeliever, because he was rebellious. Now this enemy of yours has hatred for the whole of mankind, and from the moment you are born, he will declare his hatred for you. And he will do it in such a way that subhanAllah, from the minute you're born, he will declare his hatred for you, that he will harm you. Abu Huraira, he reported that, he goes, I heard Allah's Apostle say, there is none born amongst the offspring of Adam, but Shaitan touches it. A child therefore cries loudly at the time of birth because of the touch of Shaitan. Every single human being cries at the moment of birth. Why? Because Shaitan, he shows his hatred for you. There are only two who did not cry. One was Maryam alayhi salam, and second was her son Isa ibn Maryam. My topic is in relation to a fight. Once, it's like the fight that we see in front of our eyes. One that is apparent, one that contains believers, and one contains disbelievers. The believers, like the Muwahideen we see amongst us, worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and even go to fight jihad fi sabilillah. And of the disbelievers, they deny and they disobey. My topic is one that you are either drawn closer to or you will run a mile from. My topic is regarding the jinn. Now those who think that they're going to hear about how they possess people, or horror stories, or hear about someone's head twisting around, or you know, some other supernatural being, you're going to be disappointed. As my reason for this talk is to talk about prevention. Because as the old saying goes, prevention is better than what? Better than cure. So it's better that we prevent these ills and these harms coming to us, and more importantly to our families, those who have a right over us, those who we are responsible for. Because as Muslims, we are taught a fundamental thing, and that is to safeguard ourselves and our families from the hellfire. So we must do what we can to ensure their safety and pass on what little knowledge we have, and we will all stand account. Now the issue of jinn is not a new thing. It's not some newfound illness that they have not found a cure for. The issue of jinn, some ulama say, have been around even before the coming of man. If you listen to the very enlightening talk by the Imam Anur Awlaki, may Allah hasten his escape, he talks about the issue of when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was going to create the insan, and the malaika, they said, Ya Allah, why do you wish to do this? We who worship you, we will worship you, why is it you need to create man? Allah says, I know what you know not. And some of the ulama, they say that because of what happened previously, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created the jinn, and the jinn became rebellious, and then malaika was sent to fight them and destroy them. So, like I said, this is not a new phenomenon. This has been around since even the beginning of man. But nobody leaves their front doors unlocked and does not expect to get robbed. Nobody leaves their prized belongings on display and expects not to have them taken. So in the same respect, if you do not take your precautions, then you will have nobody but yourself to blame if you were able to prevent harm but did not. To give you just a quick insight into the world of jinn, because this topic, subhanAllah, is humongous. But to give you a quick insight about what the jinn are. The jinn are part of the creation of Allah, and they are His slaves who are accountable and subject to commands and prohibitions, just like the human beings. Allah says in the Quran, in the famous verse, and I created not the man and the jinn except that they should worship me alone. With regards to their livings and their dwelling places, then they often gather in ruins and unclean places such as toilets and garbage dumps. There is no doubt that the jinn will die, for they are included in the words of Allah, whosoever is on it, the earth, will perish. It should be noted that the world of the jinn is a world of the unseen, and we do not know anything about it except what Allah has informed us in His book, or on the lips of His messenger. May Allah bless our beloved messenger. So put your trust completely in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because I am going to tell you nothing new that is not already in front of our faces. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala invoked on us a humongous blessing with the Quran and the Sunnah. And just like every single aspect of our lives, we are people who nothing has been left to chance. We are instructed about how to carry out every single affair. So especially in this matter, we have the Quran and the Sunnah. When Allah says that if this Quran had been revealed on a mountain, then the mountain would have shook. We don't truly understand this. SubhanAllah, we don't understand the weight of this Quran, this book that's on the shelf, that we have no intention of giving it its right, or reading it, or protecting ourselves with it. This is our weapon, and the Sunnah is so vital, as we will learn later, inshallah. So no harm will come, and neither will any cure without the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Always ask for protection for yourself and for those who you love. We're going to discuss now, inshallah, is a few small measures we can implement in our everyday to day lives. Small things that, inshallah, if we do these, the chance of us being afflicted with any sort of harm from the jinn will be minimalized. We will start from birth. The first thing is what? It's the aqiqah. Now, with a lot of things we're going to discuss, they might not make sense to people. They'll be like, but what's the link? What's the link between that and the jinn? I can't see the link. It doesn't make sense to me. But the deen did not come to us to make sense. The deen was sent for us to follow. It's like if you said to somebody, why do you make wudu before you pray? The person will say, I clean myself. But then you say to him, but why don't you wash your armpits? What's dirtier, your face or your armpits? You don't rationalize this. And speaking of ration, it is only the very, very few who will deny the issue of jinn. People such as the Mu'tazila, they have a very, very hard job comprehending them, the issue of jinn. But you can always rely on the deviants to try and, you know, like, twist things. But Alhamdulillah, on this topic, Imam Qurtubi, Imam Ibn Kathir, and Imam Ibn Hajar have done excellent refutations of this. It's absolutely amazing. So like we said, the first issue is the issue of aqiqah. It is the right of every child. Now we know that, subhanAllah, growing up in this country, our parents, they neglected certain sunnahs, certain aspects of this. So a lot of people, they were not given this right of the aqiqah, but it is the right upon every single child. So we should safeguard ourselves and do an aqiqah for our children and even for ourselves. If it's not been done, it's not too late. You can still do aqiqah. There's no shame in the matter. It's better you safeguard yourself, because pride is not from this deen. Pride will only come from shaitan, because he is the rebellious one and he will wish no good for any of the believers. A vital weapon we have is wudu. The wudu is described as what? It is the weapon of the believer. It is something so small to do, but yet so hard for us to do. SubhanAllah, try it for 1 week. Always be in a state of wudu. When you wake up, when you go to sleep, every time you go to the toilet, every time you break your wudu, redo it. You'll see how hard it is. Because SubhanAllah, the sunnah is so hard for us to implement. We look at the example of Bilal radiallahu anhu. And the Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, "Ya Bilal," he goes, "why can I hear your footsteps behind me in Jannah?" SubhanAllah, why can I hear your footsteps behind me in Jannah? And Bilal said, "Ya Rasulullah, I don't do anything extra, but every time my wudu breaks, I go to renew it." We, SubhanAllah, we see the benefits in just these little things. Another key thing, and it's a big, big problem I see in a lot of households, is that at Maghrib time, parents see nothing wrong with their children still being out. They're outdoors, playing with other kids, messing about. SubhanAllah, look on every single street corner, you'll see like these wannabe gangsters with their jeans hanging around their ankles, like showing their boxer shorts for some unknown reason. I haven't actually got my head around this issue of showing the boxer shorts. But you see them, and you see them everywhere, and they're out at night like thinking it's cool. Is that a word we use in the 2000s? I don't know. Anyway, they're out at night, and parents think nothing of it. And SubhanAllah, you go to houses and their windows are open and the doors are open. This is the time when the jinn will come out to play. So you must safeguard yourself. Bring your children in. Safeguard them from this evil. Close your windows, close your doors. You close them and you say Bismillah, because shaitan cannot open any closed door. So this is very, very important. And especially stay away from trees. The jinn, they love to gather around trees. So all those, you know, romantic notions of taking your wife out to see a nice sunset, yeah, brothers, put it to one side, okay? Also, before you go to bed, cover over your food. Because the jinn will come out and the shaitan will come out and they'll do all sorts. So basically cover over your utensils and put out any naked flames. Because we know the hadith of the Messenger, he said, if you see any mice in the house, kill them. Because the shaitan whispered to them to try and cause harm. The shaitan whispered to a mouse who tried to knock over a candle to burn down the house of our beloved Prophet. So SubhanAllah, they will whisper. So you put out all naked flames. And before you go to bed, recite the three quls. I'm sure we all know them. Surah Ikhlas, Surah An-Nas, and Surah Al-Falaq. And the sunnah is to dry spit in your hands. Just go, and then you recite, and then you wipe your hands over every part of your body that it can reach. And an important thing to do is to also do it for your children. Get them into the habit, inshallah. Teach them this sunnah, subhanAllah. And for brothers should wear atar before they go to bed. Brothers should be wearing atar before they go to bed anyway, yeah? Don't be like Chris Tyrant. I read about Chris Tyrant today. His wife said he would come home stinking of fish every single night and jump into bed. Don't be like Chris Tyrant, brothers. Yeah, wear that up and smell nice for your wives. If you want to know about a rocket launcher to fire into the face of the jinn, you must know about Ayatul Kursi. Recite Ayatul Kursi before you go to bed. Subhanallah. I've heard from many brothers who've actually had dealings with the jinn. And the jinn have even, these are brothers not met each other, but you heard it from so many different sources, and we know this to be the haq. And the jinn says, if you wish to burn me, recite Ayatul Kursi. It's such a big thing. And because we know the incident that happened between Abu Hurairah when he was given the job of guarding the zakat, and basically somebody kept coming and stealing. So he captured this being, and this being said, Abu Hurairah, he narrated, he said, I will take you to the Messenger of Allah. And the being, he said, I will teach you some words by which Allah will benefit you. And Abu Hurairah, he's hungry for the knowledge. He's like, what are these words? What are these words? And he taught him that when you go to bed, recite Ayatul Kursi. And then Allah will appoint a guard for you who will stay with you, and no shaitan will come near you until morning. In the morning, the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, asked him, what did your prisoner do last night? He said, O Messenger of Allah, he taught me something and claimed that Allah would benefit me by it. He said, and what was it? So I said, he taught me to recite Ayatul Kursi when I go to bed, and said that no shaitan would come near me until the morning, and that Allah would appoint a guard for me who would stay with me. The Prophet ﷺ, he said, he has told you the truth, although he is an inventive liar. For that was shaitan. Subhanallah, you see the trickery of shaitan. He said, if you recite this, no jinn will come near you. He recited it and shaitan managed to catch free. Another thing that is prevalent is that people are not careful with their nails and their hair. The sunnah is to bury them. If you can't bury them, disregard them in a good way. Rather than just clipping your nails and stuff like that, and it's letting them bounce all over the place, and you got hair there, subhanAllah. The sunnah is to bury them. Even so, people go so far to the extent that even when they get their hair cut at the barber's, they ask the barber to gather the hair and they take the hair away with them. This, and then my next point, it's usually a point for the sisters, but also I think it might relate to Abu Mujahidah. And that is, be careful about how much time you spend looking in the mirror. Because the jinn have been known to attack people, you like, through the mirror. So although alhamdulillah we welcome the fact that sisters beautify themselves with their husband, please keep this to a limit. Another thing that we see, and I mean, subhanAllah, you can see these are little things that people, they don't pay any attention to, don't pay a second thought to. But subhanAllah, these are just little things that are so easy to implement for us, but yet we choose not to. Another thing is to keep the bones separate when eating, for the bones are the food of the jinn. We see people when they're eating, they got like a nice big bowl of rice, and then what you call it, like they got some chicken in there, or got some lamb in there. And when they eat that, they leave the bone in the plate. Subhanallah, as soon as you do that, that food is for the jinn. So unless, of course, you want to share your food with the jinn, you know, subhanallah, get a separate plate. Put the bones to one side, because the bones are the food for the jinn. Another thing, subhanAllah, a small thing we can do is to recite Surah Baqarah in the house. Okay? It is better to recite it, but if it's not possible, then at least get a tape player. And that's the least that we can do. Play it. Because it was narrated by Abu Hurairah, that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, do not make your houses like graves, for the shaitan runs away from a house in which Surah Al-Baqarah is recited. And this is narrated by Muslim. Also, give the azan when you're praying. A lot of us are very lazy and we just give the aqamah and then we pray. We should give the azan. Because Abu Huraira, again, subhanAllah, may Allah be pleased with him, narrated that the Messenger of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he said, when the shaitan hears the call to prayer, he runs away fast. In another narration, he runs away fast, passing wind. Because, subhanAllah, the azan, that the one who gives it, it will bear witness for him on Yawm Al-Qiyamah, and every single person who hears it, and every single being who hears it, will also be a witness for that brother. And the shaitan, may Allah curse him, is such an enemy for the believers that he will not want to give a witness for any of them. So he will run as fast as he can, passing wind, so he doesn't have to hear it, so he does not have to give witness. Another thing, another forgotten sunnah, is the issue of hijama, cupping. Now brothers, I've seen this with my own eyes. If you want to see a jinn squeal in pain, that's possessed a person, take him to somebody to get some hijama done. SubhanAllah, even dry hijama, no cupping, no bloodletting. For them, it's as if you're dragging knives through their body. The sunnah is to at least, in fact some ulama say it's obligatory to get hijama done once in your lifetime. The sunnah is to get it done. Alhamdulillah, there are many, many, many benefits. And again, it is one of the sunnahs, and the jinn and the evil jinn and the shaitan, they hate the sunnah. So inshallah, if anybody's interested in hijama, there are people available who can actually do this. Alhamdulillah, there are the sunnah days for it, which when it is better. Another small thing we can do is to eat dates in the morning. For our beloved messenger Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, whosoever eats pressed dates in the morning before eating any food will not be affected by poison or sihr. Now the ulama said it is better to eat ajwa dates, but if you cannot get hold of ajwa dates, then any dates will suffice. A key thing for us is our dua. We have du'as for everything. SubhanAllah, nothing has been left. When we enter our homes, when we leave our homes, when we wake up, when we go to sleep, when we put on new clothes, when we hear the donkey braying, when we hear the thunder clapping, every single thing, subhanAllah, we have been given du'as. These are our weapons. This is our arsenal that we will use against anything that comes to try and harm us. Now, a key thing is the dua for the bathroom. Because I've read it on many, many different occasions where somebody has been afflicted with the jinn, and when the person who does ruqya on the person to try and drive the jinn out, speak to them, he says, "Where? How did you possess this person?" He says, "I possessed him in the bathroom because he did not recite the du'as to protect himself." Now brothers, we read it at the beginning that the toilets are a place where many, many jinn, they like to gather. And so this is not a place we should spend much time. Now, you can always rely on the kuffar. The kuffar, if something is right, they will make it wrong. If something is wrong, they will make it right. They will make the halal haram and the haram halal. In every aspect, if you follow these twisted, sick individuals, then they will lead you far, far astray. Now subhanAllah, if you just want one small example of the kuffar, then what it is, where I work, I work in a building and the kitchen is right by the toilet. So when I'm in the kitchen, you always hear the kuffar, they're on the phone, in the toilet. SubhanAllah, there was one brother telling me once that there was a guy, he took a drink with him into the bathroom, and he was drinking while he was relieving himself. And subhanAllah, where is this from apart from these filthy people? And they think nothing of it. And do you think they would wash their hands? SubhanAllah, this coming from a nation that tries to govern the entire world and tells who should live and who should die and what they should implement, and they have to be reminded, please wash your hands. You'd think they would, but they don't. They're such filthy people. And another thing we should do is to keep the toilet seat down. Because what is inside the toilet is the jinn use this. So we should always keep the toilet seat down. And There's many, many other du'as we can make, especially the du'as before we go to sleep and things like this. We wake up in the morning. Vital things such as on the day of marriage, there's the du'as you can recite to safeguard yourself and your family. And even when you have relationship with your partner, you can, there's du'as that you can recite that safeguard yourself and inshallah ta'ala any future offspring from the evils of shaitan. Another thing we can do is to be with the jama'ah, because we know the famous hadith that shaitan is closer to the one than he is to the two, and he's closer to the two than he is to the three. But it doesn't mean that you just go like hang out with whoever you want, because we also know that the another hadith, it says you are the deen of your friend. So that don't mean that just because you hang out with two jahils, you're safe from shaitan. No, you're closer, because the majlis that you're in, there's no barakah in it. Neither do you mention the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for this barakah. Neither do you get up to anything that is pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Rather, like I said, you want to engage in some munkar and things like this, drugs, drink, womanizing. The list is absolutely endless. And it's reported by Ahmad that our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said that jama'ah is mercy and separation is torture. And we should do what we can to adhere to the jama'ah, that we hunt out those good Muslims in our community and we stand with them. Brothers with brothers and sisters should make a point of phoning each other, basically keeping good relations. And that if we see somebody adhering to any sort of haram, we shouldn't be so quick to condemn them and just outcast them and just like label them or something like that. Rather, we should make excuse for these people. Because if I was to tell you, what would you say to a man who wears a jubbah, who's got a beard as big as Abu Mujahida's, but then you see him on a street corner cracking open a can of lager? What would you say to this man? You say, this is probably the worst of beings, because he has all the signs of a Muslim, but look at the open haram he's engaging in. Subhanallah. And there are such cases. I work with such a case. And do you know why he does that? Because he's afflicted with this illness of the jinn. The jinn will do this to him, to shame him in front of the people. Subhanallah. So let us try and extend the 70 excuses to our brother. Subhanallah. If we look at the example of Umar bin al-Khattab, when he heard of a man drinking, he did not condemn this man outright. He called a messenger and he said that, he narrated something and he said, take this to the man, but give it to him when he is sober. And when it was given to the man, he read this, he started crying and he repented. For what Umar bin al-Khattab he had done, he had reminded him of the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But he had also reminded him about the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he had asked everybody that was in that majlis when he wrote that letter to make dua for that brother. And subhanAllah, we see the benefit of this. So let's not be so quick to condemn our Muslim brothers. Rather, we look for the good in them, inshallah ta'ala, and we use hikmah and we use the best words to try to bring them back to this blessed deen. Another thing we can do is to pray our salah in jama'at, and especially fajr. There's so much benefit in fajr salah. The brother was saying that so many jinn, they like to boast about what they've done, because they're full of pride and they boast. And when they go to their master shaitan as he sits on his throne, and they say, I've done this, and I've done this, and I've done this, and I've done this, boasting to him. Subhanallah, these jinn, they like to boast. And a key thing they like to boast about is how they made an individual miss Fajr Salah. Because there's so much benefit behind Fajr Salah. The one who prays Fajr Salah, subhanallah, and does the zikr afterwards, which I'll touch upon inshallah, then he is protected from the shaitan for the rest of the day. Subhanallah. And if there is no masjid around you and so forth, and you don't wish to, the very least you can do is pray with your family. lead your family in salah and pray with them. Because there's much, much barakah. And inshallah ta'ala, it will increase the love between you and them. And the dua after Fajr is vital. Because it was narrated from, subhanAllah, who else but Abu Huraira, that the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, whosoever says, La ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika la, lahul mulk wa lahul hamd wa huwa ala kulli shay'in qadir, 100 times in the day, i.e. after Fajr, will have a reward equivalent to that of freeing 10 slaves, 100 good deeds will be recorded for him, and 100 bad deeds will be erased from his record, and that will be a protection for him from the shaitan from that day until evening comes. No one could achieve any better than him except the one who does more than he did. So subhanAllah, our whole days are planned out. We wake up in Fajr, we pray in the Jamaat, we pray with our families, we do the zikr, we eat the dates, we're protected for the whole day. Until the evening, until it's bedtime, we recite the du'as, we recite the quls, we blow over ourselves. And also, subhanAllah, a sunnah that I forgot to mention was the sunnah of just before you go to bed. If we were to discuss sunnahs, we'd be here until the cows go home. But a good sunnah, as they all are, is to brush down your bed before you get in it. Now people might question, what's the hikmah behind brushing down your bed? In the times of old, it was done to basically in case there are any scorpions on your bed. Now if there's any scorpions on your bed, brothers, I'd get worried. But nowadays, we don't really find many scorpions in our bed. But this is from the sunnah, this is something we should implement. Because subhanAllah, if you look at the Sahaba and how they loved the Prophet ﷺ, that our beloved Nabi ﷺ, he was very, very tall. And there was one particular tree that he would walk under. And because the Nabi ﷺ, he was so tall, he would just bend down a little bit to walk underneath this tree. And the Sahaba, they never questioned, Ya Rasulullah, why do you do this? Even though some of them were quite short, they'd still bend down as they walk under the tree, because they loved him so much, they would follow anything he did. Anything he did, they were the first ones to implement. So let us not question, what's the hikmah behind this? Why do we do this? I don't need to do this. I don't need to do that. SubhanAllah, there's wisdom and there's barakah in everything. So inshallah ta'ala, we should increase what we do. Now, like I said, about this dua, you recite it 100 times. It's one of the very, very few that I've come across that are authentic. Because like the brother, he gave us cha-cha last week, who loves the Pakistani cricket team and they love him. We also have a lot of these Brailwis. I'm not sure if you ever guys ever watched, like, have the misfortune of watching Pakistani TV. They have this really big guy on there, and the people phone up and they say, oh, my son's done this, and I've got this problem, and I've got that problem, and I've got that problem. He gives them a list to do as long as your arm. He's like, recite Surah Falak 1,000 times, do this, throw this thing on the wall, all this, you know, like deviation. And one time somebody phoned him up and they goes, I've followed what you've said and I've looked up, there is no authentic narration for anything that you do. And they cut him off. So subhanAllah, the people, they follow these innovations, they follow this misguidance, and then they wonder why they have all these problems. A big, big problem, and unfortunately, the majority, I don't want to scare the sisters, but a majority of the cases to do with sihr are usually pertaining to sisters. And there are some reasons for this. One of them is that the sisters have their monthly cycle. Now what some sisters do is, we know you can't pray, we know you can't fast, but who was it that said that you can't, like, do your zikr? Who was it that says that you cannot increase in your good deeds in that time? Because this is a vital thing of the sisters, they neglect. That in that 1 week, they abstain from everything. This is not from the sunnah. You should at least do your zikr. At least increase in the good deeds. And like I said right at the beginning, a vital thing that we can do is adhere to the sunnah. Because the evil beings, they hate the sunnah, and the sunnah is what makes them weak. Because if they ever have the ability to possess a person, and if that person is strong in his deen, then the weaker they become. And if that person is weak in his deen, the stronger they become. So let us not ridicule the sunnahs, or not even ridicule, but let's not be neglectful towards the sunnahs. We see so many brothers, subhanAllah, who pray their fard, they pray their salah, but they only pray their fard, as if the sunnahs are somebody else, as if someone else is going to pray it for them. And even to do the zikr after salah, there's much, much benefit, there's much, much reward for this. There's so much hikmah behind this. Even, like I said, the sunnahs are numerous, they're infinite. There's little things I can do. We can visit an ill person, even subhanAllah. We make phone somebody up, reacquaint some acquaintances, ask a brother how he's doing, how his family is, even that. SubhanAllah, small things like fasting every Monday and Thursday. These are things, for was it not the Salaf who used to say, on their deathbeds, they would say, we wish we had fasted those days, those hot days. They would cry on their deathbeds wishing they had fasted. And though the chance for us to do this is here, my brothers. We can do this. We still have the ability. So every little thing. Of course, you have men who are like mountains in this ummah. People like Abu Bakr Siddiq. For we know the famous narration of when the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he said, who from amongst us today has given charity? Abu Bakr Siddiq puts his hands up. He goes, who from among us today has visited an ill person? He put his hand up. He goes, who from among us today has walked behind a funeral procession? Abu Bakr Siddiq. Every single thing, subhanAllah, Abu Bakr Siddiq would put his hand up. And then, you know the beautiful thing, if that was not beautiful enough, the state of Umar bin al-Khattab. He goes, it was amazing the fact that we were praying Fajr Salah when he was asking us this. Can you comprehend the iman of this man? He had done all of these things before even Fajr Salah. He had seen a man on the way to the masjid. He had helped him. He had done all of these things, subhanAllah. We could not even do this even in a month, 2 months. When was the last time we visited somebody who was ill? Or phoned up somebody? Or even fasted, the sunnah fast. These are sunnahs we need to implement in our lives. And lastly, and very, very importantly, is to stay away from the haram. The Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he said, if I've ordered you to do something, do as much as you can. And if I've told you to abstain from it, stay far away from it. So even the obligatory, you do as much as you can. As much as you can. What is in your capability. But the haram, nobody has any excuse to commit any haram. The deen is not a deen of hardship. The deen is a deen of ease. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not burden a soul more than what it can bear. And do not think that this haram that I'm doing is something small, is something trivial. Because we know that the big fire is made up of what? Small sticks. Small twigs. That we know the hadith where our beloved messenger, he said to us, he said that shaitan has given up trying to deviate you in the big matters. Rather, he will come to you in the small matters. And we know many, many famous narrations of famous people who were so full of taqwa. And shaitan, he breaks them one by one by one by just the little things. SubhanAllah. So matters such as smoking, listening to music, covering, all of these things, these should not be taken lightly, and we should adhere to what is obligatory to us, and we should stay far, far, far away from the haram. I will end it there, inshallah. Any good that's come of this is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and any mistakes have been mine and have come from my nafs.